HKX and 4ZLK.
KO4HKX.
I hope you're well today. I called you a couple times yesterday. They actually called me into work, but I did not hear you on the radio one time except for early in the morning.
Sorry, I didn't hear you. I had the radio on. I must have just been out at the right times.
Was. Anyway, I hope you're well. Hope you had a good Easter weekend.
I went up to the Greenville, Tennessee Ham Fest Saturday. Another guy from Hendersonville rode up there together and bumped into a couple guys from down here and had a good time.
Say Jody was up there?
Matt went up and spent the night up there and sold a couple things. I hadn't talked to him since then to find out how he did, but he seemed to be doing okay.
Seen him or heard him in a while. That's a good drive for him. How was the Ham Fest? Was it pretty big?
A smaller one, but it was a good one. I would go back. Probably a lot to spend a little more time up there looking around in the town than just all Ham Fest.
It was Greenville, Tennessee. Driving at the moment, so I won't look, but where is Greenville?
North of Hot Springs, North Carolina. So you go up 2570, or we went up 2570 and got on 208 and went in that way through the Cherokee National Forest. It was a good ride, pretty ride up through there, other than seeing the destruction, but would have normally been a nice ride.
So is it up, is it close to 81, this side of 81, or above 81, or am I not thinking correctly?
It is on the south side of 81. You could go right up 26 and 81 and come in that way.
I may have seen signs for it driving on 81. I'm not sure. Anyway, well, good. I'm glad you had a good time. I'm sure it was a nice ride. Let's see. Ethan invited us all over Saturday, so we were all there except for Michaela and Harris. They were still out in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. They went to Wyoming for their honeymoon.
Nice. And can't blame them for not being there then.
Yeah, Harris has really never traveled. And Michaela's traveled a lot. She's been able to go to a lot of different places, west and a few countries. And she said he definitely got the travel bug after visiting those mountains out there.
Hopefully they get to travel a lot in their young lives and enjoy.
That'll be good. They'll enjoy that. But they came back late Sunday night, so I'll be anxious to see them sometime soon. It'll be good to see them again. It was beautiful and still kind of recuperating from everything.
So that whirlwind change of a wedding venue and everything else, and then you have Easter weekend on top of it. I imagine it was pretty hectic the last couple of weeks.
Go through leftover wedding stuff, you know, best is the decorating, and I'm trying to tell her, look, we're done, we don't have any more, and she said, yeah, but we know people that have kids, and so looks like we might be storing stuff, I don't know. Anyway, on another note, I ordered a 12-volt LiPo battery, a 12-amp-hour, and a couple of those little Paradyne radio accessories. Got that DC gate, and so I can hook the power supply and the battery to it, and then a splitter or another Anderson power pole splitter that connects to that so that I can hook all my radios, or at least half my radios, and run those on battery power or either or. I hooked it together. I don't have everything mounted where I want it to go, but I really like that function. I can just kick my radios on if I want to, or I can turn the power supply on and it'll charge the battery.
Nice function or feature there. And I don't have one that does the integrates the power supply into it. So that would be a nice add-on there. I'll have to look into that one.
A little unit. I kind of expected a little bit larger, but, I mean, it works great. I tried it out this morning, hooked them all together. They came yesterday, the rest of the stuff. Trying to clean up some of my cables, you know, use my cables that came with the radios and put them back in the box. They don't have, you know, how long they are. I don't want to cut them up and shorten them. I want to keep them separate. But this will clean up a few of the cables anyway and behind the desk.
That's always a nice thing. My son is wanting the desk that I'm using right now for my ham radio stuff, so I'm going to tear all mine out, get the desk to him, and then do something different in my room.
I can tell you one of the radios.
License, I would give him a radio. I wouldn't worry about that.
That little power, I'm saying splitter, but it's technically not. You got one input in, and then I got the four post power pole post out, so I can run four different accessories off of it. It's got the voltmeter and the amp hour, or the amperage rating on it too, or how many amps are drawn. So I like that feature. Just the way my desk is, though, unless I build an accessory or build a platform or something to mount it up, I'm probably going to mount it underneath the desk because I won't need to look at it all the time if I need to get an idea of what the charge is on the battery. I can just look under my desk and keep it out of the way, but looking forward to getting it all set up. But I'd like that feature. I can just turn the radios on without having to put the power to it, or if the power does go out, I don't have to worry about the generator running them.
I have that same, sounds like that same distribution block there, and I have mine using some command strips stuck on the wall where it's back behind the desk, and all the cables drop down that way, but I can still see it, so that works out good for me. But like I said, all that's going to be changing here shortly.
Yeah, command strip might be pretty good. I didn't think about that because I didn't want to mount it permanently to the wall. But I've got a couple of windows. My desk sits in the corner, and there's a window at each corner. They don't butt up to each other, but I don't know. Probably shouldn't command strip it to the glass.
I don't recommend command stripping it to the glass, I don't think, because I don't know. I don't know if it'd stick real well with the cold and hot transition there. I don't know how well it would do.
A joke, but anyway, it'd be nice to get all this set up. I've got my Yaesu, or running my Yaesu 857 and my 2 meter rig, and I bought an extra cord if I want to bring another radio in just to plug it in, you know, with that the mobile team connection that they all come with. I have that on one end and the power pole on the other end, so I can just hook another radio up if I need to. My 757, the power supply for it, the cord is a different plug, and I may have to research to find one or make one myself before I can set that radio up. Probably what I'll do eventually is get a 100 amp hour battery and run them both off of that if I can, instead of just and then use a smaller battery maybe for traveling or who knows, mobile, you know, taking out to a park someday and doing stuff with the smaller radio.
HGX, yeah. I just run all mine off a 24 amp hour battery there at the house. And it's what I was running on during Helene, and I mean, it lasts for days.
I mean, it doesn't sound like a lot, but you're not transmitting very much, and if you're transmitting on low power, it's only a couple of amps draw, and you're not transmitting for the whole hour, so I understand it will last a while, but I'm looking at all this stuff, and instead of building up to it, you know, kind of just want to do it all, and not have to worry about it later.
I don't blame you at all for that. Do it once and be done with it.
Batteries now that you can monitor their condition on your cell phone. They come with an app you can download and monitor your battery.
Roger that. There's several of them out there like that now.
Okay, and let me just confirm this with you. These batteries, they're fine for staying inside, you know, underneath the desk, that kind of thing. That's what I'm understanding, but I just want to double check that from somebody who's got a little more experience with them.
Yes, but just like anything else, there is a risk no matter what. I mean, there's no 100% anything, and I'm assuming you got a lithium ion phosphate battery, I believe it is.
I don't know if it's the ones they sell on that Paradigm Radio website, the LiPo batteries. I don't know that it's, well, it may not be that. Ion doesn't sound right. Everything else does, but I may be wrong on that.
The LiPo battery, then yes, I would say it's safe to be inside. That's what mine is. Mine's a LiPo battery. And it's been inside for 2 years now, and I've not had any issue out of it. But that being said, I would recommend keeping it in a safe storage unit. And what a lot of people will do is the old ammo cans, you put it in there. That way, if it does catch fire, it's in a metal container.
My desk's got a bar that runs across underneath where you put your feet. It's out of the way, a wooden bar, frame, piece of framework. I was going to build a little platform down there and mount everything on that, or put the battery on it. But that's a good thing to know. Put it in something metal maybe to keep it in case it catches fire.
I'm not saying you have to or anything like that. I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying if it gives you better peace of mind, that I've seen people do that. With them, so. But just like anything else, there's risk involved with it.
Need to have access to air surrounding it. In other words, if it's stuck in something insulated, is that going to cause it to heat up, or is that not even a concern?
Not the best person to ask on that. Because I would think it needs to breathe, but I don't know. They have monitors on them that monitor battery temperature. I'm sure there's somebody out there that knows more about that than I am. I do. That might be listening.
For years I've used power drills and power tools with batteries. I've never had an issue, so I would imagine it's similar.
But like I said, I was just giving you a thing to make it a better peace of mind for you. And, you know, dump them out of plastic and never think nothing about it. I don't think it's as big a deal as what it used to be.
My storage, or my carry-on, I mean, check luggage and travel somewhere with it, I guess.
Don't think they like that. That difference in pressure tends to mess with them.
I was surprised at how small it was and how lightweight it was. I don't have any experience with them, so I wasn't sure what to expect, but you know, all the batteries I ever remember, my dad used to have a car battery business, and those things were heavy.
It's the same weight, because I'm used to heavy batteries also, dealing with vehicles all these years, man. I'm like, these don't weigh nothing compared to what a 1,000 cold cranking up lead acid battery. I mean, that thing's heavy trying to get it out of some of them tight little places. These little lithium batteries don't weigh anything.
The fact, too, that they'll keep the full 12.5 or 13 volts, whatever it is, all the way down until they discharge completely. That's a very good feature on them.
And that's one thing you don't want to do is you don't want to discharge it completely. That's rough on the battery.
Going to be my next question is it, do you want to run it down for a while, or is it okay to keep it on a constant charger? I mean, it's that little charging gate, or DC gate they call it, has a function in there where if it's below the minimal voltage, it'll charge at 2 amps, but as soon as it gets close to fully charged, it modifies it down to just like a trickle charger.
Have a BMI in it, and a battery monitoring something, and that controls all that, so you don't have to worry too much about it.
Sure, on this technology, I remember there used to be some of the power tools, they used to say don't charge, you know, run them down and completely or they'll develop memories, but I guess these don't have that issue.
Like the old nickel cadmium batteries, no. Nothing like that.
Interested to see if it cleans up my signal. Sometimes I get a DC hum on that 2 meter radio. I messed around with the wires and moved them a little bit, and I can't hear it, but someone out there who I won't say his name, but his call is KB2HXS, he points out the 12 volt DC hum on my signal sometimes, and I guess it comes and goes.
I don't know, I've never really paid it much of attention. Every radio's got its own sound, and I just chalk it up to that a lot of times. And like JVQ, Larry, he's got that click on his. I can pick that up instantly when he keys up his mic. And so, I mean, that's just different things. And the fan could be the hum on yours. You never know what's causing it.
That click on Larry's, because I had the Kenwood that I used to carry in my work truck. It started doing the same thing. It was pointed out to me by a guy I was talking to down there in Gainesville or on the way to Atlanta. And when I was talking it, generally you couldn't hear it. But in the background, it got quiet. It's something to do with, there's something in the Kenwood radio, and I think I heard, or I may have discussed it with Dave, DJW, about it one time. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it could be fixed. But it's something that seems to be with Kenwood radios, or only Kenwood radios, and it doesn't happen very often.
I remember y'all talking about that, and y'all said my Kenwood in the tool truck has it very faintly, and I think it said it was the filters in there that needed to be replaced that would cause that.
I forgot about that. Your radio was doing something similar. That's the main reason I ended up buying that new Yaesu 6000, just so that I could get rid of that, because I don't know how to replace filters, and I didn't have the time to go through it. It's like, by the time I send it off and pay somebody to fix it, I could buy this new radio.
It was one of those things I didn't know when I bought it. I knew the hobby. I just knew the Kenwood name and trusted it. So that's kind of where I was at with it. And I actually like my Kenwood radio. For what I do with it, it is a great option.
Kenwood radios, and I don't think all of them have that issue. I think it's just something that happens occasionally, and we happen to know people who had one, so had that happen. So, because there's a lot of Kenwood radios out there that don't ever have that issue.
I think it's just the 2 meter stuff of a certain vintage that have that problem.
So I didn't mind replacing it anyway, because the screen on it, the one I had, I think it's a 261. The screen on it was so little, and for some reason I'm having more and more trouble reading small stuff, even though I have glasses. I don't know what's going on.
Well, we won't embarrass you over the air, but we all know what that is.
What is? Sorry. I had an ambulance coming out. I heard sirens, and everybody was hitting their brakes, but I couldn't see it anywhere. I couldn't tell if it was behind me or beside me. I found it, and I was out of the way.
I know I really have to pay attention for ambulances in the tool truck, because it's right around where the wind is up on that thing, and you don't hear anything outside. All you hear is the engine running or that. You don't hear the car noise around you.
True. I can imagine that. Always got to be looking. I used to tell my kids when they first started driving, don't, especially my oldest son, don't play your music so loud you can't hear anything. I know you enjoy it, but, you know, you need to pay attention. You don't want to be the one that pulls out in front of an emergency vehicle because you're not, you can't hear it.
And there's a couple of blind intersections that I go through for me, that right side, you know, with that big box there, I can't see what's coming that way, and these angled intersections create a big blind spot, so I try to avoid those. I'll actually go around them if at all possible and come out a different way, but there's one of them there that about got me, so luckily I caught it out of the corner of my eye just in time.
Is that okay? Yep, yeah, that's planning ahead there. I've got a couple places that directions I don't go if I'm driving particular vehicles, just because I know I can't see. It's really difficult getting out. And I do not want to pull out in front of somebody because I'm just trying to take a shortcut.
It's not worth it. There's one place on my Monday route, and I can't remember the name of the road right now, but that actually comes up at an angle, and the road's coming up my right side. Well, the angle's so much that I can't see anything there in my mirror. I can't even use it. So luckily there's a convenience store there with a huge parking lot. So I'll cut through there, and just out of, you know, respect, I'd go in and, you know, I'll frequent their store just because I'm using their parking lot as a cut through to avoid that intersection. So it just, I don't know, it's a very dangerous intersection over there. And there's a lot of school traffic there too.
But just going in one day and telling them what you're doing, just because of that, they may not understand it. You may have told them, I don't know. But no, I completely understand. You got to be safe out there. On another note, I talked to Connor last night, or he called me and told me his plans. So that's really exciting.
I am curious about that myself. I talked to him, so we'll definitely looking forward to that.
Great addition. I know they'll do well. Connor is, well, both of them. They can talk to people with ease, you know. So I think they'll be fine. I think they'll do a good job.
I think I haven't talked to Hayden as much as I have Connor. I think Connor will do great at it, and if Hayden's anything like Connor, he'll be just fine at it too. So they're definitely more prepared for it than I am or was.
We'll certainly find out. I told them I'll have to make sure I'm around whatever days they're participating in that, so I'll make a special effort. And one of these days, I keep telling you this, but one of these days I'm going to do it too, but you know my schedule right now.
Stop you. There's things we can do to work around that.
Mobile, coming home from work.
Every day of the week.
Change bosses.
The battle axe gets you there if you ain't careful.
You would call her that.
Me? I'm not the one that does it. You are.
Battle axe, you left out a word.
Better hope she ain't listening. You better hope you didn't leave a radio on.
We were looking at something the other day and on a website, and the wife of the person we were reading about was referred to in a way, you know, fairly respectful, but just the way, very respectful, but just different. And she was like, oh, I don't like that. She goes, I'd rather be called the old battle axe.
Yeah, and I don't know, just like right now, my wife's birthday is a month and a half before mine, so I call her my old lady just out of sheer fun and just, you know, picking at her. Somebody heard me do that the other day and actually got upset about it.
you got to be careful. To be fair, I can't remember. Well, I think I did come up with it, but it was with a talking with a coworker. And this, we really like this guy. She likes this guy, so that's how he refers to her, and in joking or in jest, and she's fine with it.
If you're doing it in malice, or if you're just doing it in jest, of fun, and people get so bent out of shape about it, they can't laugh anymore about things.
We'll refrain from that in the middle of an argument. I won't call her that. That wouldn't be good.
Sometimes you don't do that at all. There is no humor in it whatsoever.
Tomorrow, your same route, because I invited John, K4WCL, because we had talked about it, but he said he's not going to be able to this week. He's got things going on, but he definitely looked forward to it.
As far as I know, I will be there.
We missed a few lunch times, so I'll look forward to it. All right, Patrick, I'm going to let you go. I'll be around today. As far as I know, still have the same tractor and the radio's in there, so I'm sure I'll hear you on or talk to you later. You enjoyed it this morning. Nice to catch up. KO4HKX, N4ZLK.
Good to hear you this morning. Yeah, enjoyed it. KO4HKX, and I'll be clear. Be safe out there.